If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to talk about, in fact, some of the rules related to fasting and Ramadan, since we are in the month of mercy, in the month of barakah, and in the month of Ramadan. So we're going to deal with this, in fact, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. We were supposed to ask some of the questions which are related to Ramadan and the related issues and questions and answers of jurisprudential laws according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, let me ask you this question. Somebody asked that he was actually wearing medical glasses, all right, at the present moment. And so obviously his eyes were weak. Well, the doctors told him that if his build, his physique and well-being is not strengthened, his eyesight is going to get weaker and weaker, right? Gradually. Sure. So if he's unable to perform the Ramadan fast, what's going to be his duty then?
Well, the rule of thumb is that if fasting is harmful for his eyes, he's not supposed to fast. And it is, in fact, obligatory that he refrain from fasting. And of course, if the illness continues until the next Ramadan, then he is not going to do anything because there is no qada on him. He doesn't have to pay, he doesn't have to observe qada, but in a state of qada, he has to give one mud of foodstuff, which is about 750 grams of any kind of food that he can afford to pay, like, for example, wheat, bread, you know, even barley, noodles, and all of these things. If he can afford, he can give rice to the poor, but it should be about 750 grams and not more than that or less than that, yes.
For each day?
For each day.
Yes, of course. Okay, another question that somebody asked is said that my mother is seriously sick. And my father is also physically weak. So it's obvious that none of them should fast. But the thing is, nevertheless, both of them fast during Ramadan.
Sure.
Well, it's quite evident that fasting aggravates their illness or disease or their medical conditions. He says that I haven't been able to persuade them to stop fasting or to refrain from fasting, at least at times when their illness is a little bit serious. So would you please shed some light on their jurisprudential law that applies to them or this scenario regarding fasting?
Well, there are numerous such cases. There are people who suffer from health issues and they want to observe fast, thinking that they can fast, maybe even contrary to the doctor's prescription or advice, they keep fasting. You know, the criterion in determining the ability or the inability is whether, for example, fasting causes illness or it even worsens the someone's poor state of health or aggravates anyhow, is the opinion of the individual himself, the person himself who fasts. If he knows that fasting, or if he fears, because fear enough is enough, if a person he fears that fasting might inflict some or harm or may cause some harm, damage to his health, then he shouldn't fast. Mm-hmm. And if he's confident or certain, then that is obviously the case, he shouldn't fast at all, because it is absolutely forbidden for an individual to do something that causes damage to his health or even aggravates his health problem. Mm-hmm. Now, if someone knows that fasting is harmful for him, then and he still decides to fast, then of course, according to all religious authorities, it is forbidden.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break, and then after the break, we'll come back with more questions. So don't go away.
Oh.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/Ian. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, yeah, Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Mahajad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Tawheed, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential rules related to the month of Ramadan and fasting. Sheikh Tawheed, some people have operations or surgeries on different parts of the bodies.
Sure.
For example, one of those special limbs that is very important is kidneys.
Sure.
If somebody has a surgery on their kidneys and the surgeon order them not to fast for the rest of their lives, regardless of whether it's Ramadan or another month, yet they feel nothing because they live their normal life and they eat and drink, just not like normal individuals, and they may not feel any kind of like symptoms or signs if they fast. Nothing goes wrong. So what's their situation? Like what's the rule? What's the jurisprudential law that applies to these people? Should they fast or not?
I think it has been said time and again by the religious authorities, including His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, that if a person does not fear any harm in fasting, and there is no Shari'i ground, for that. So he is obligated to fast during the month of Ramadan. So the main criterion is the fear, if not certainty, if not being sure. So if a person fears that, or if a person does not fear that is going to cause him any damage or harm, then, of course, he shouldn't abandon fasting. He should fast and he should fulfill the obligation of fasting.
Well, until the moment that they see a very little
course,
sign that
there are symptoms, there are symptoms and he finds symptoms of, the effect of fasting, the negative effects of fasting, then he should stop fasting immediately, even if it is in the middle of the day,
Yeah, sure. Okay, and another question would be regarding some physicians. And some of these physicians are not, aware of jurisprudence, or jurisprudential laws or Islamic laws and teachings. So should they, the patients obey these physicians' orders if they forbid, for example, something like fasting?
Well, that's a good question because sometimes, doctors, specialists, and as you rightly mentioned, physicians, they advise people not to fast because this is their understanding, and they come to the conclusion that fasting may cause some damage to the individual's health. Well, generally speaking, if the physician's statement makes the patient confident that fasting is going to be harmful for him, or he fears of harm in fasting, either on the basis of physician's statements or on some other reasonable grounds, then of course it's not obligatory for him to fast. Rather, it is not permissible when there is a reasonable ground, when there is fear, I think we need to further, explain this because there are lots of people who have some kind of health, who suffer from some sort of health complications in their lives. And of course, I see in my daily encounter, I see a lot of people who a lot of old men who continue fasting. For example, my own father, he was 96 or 5, and he was fasting. I did tell him many times not to fast, but he was fasting. And it is, I think it's up to the individual himself to see whether he is capable of fasting or not. Mm. And that a doctor's advice should not be taken into consideration. It should not be heeded when one himself knows that it's not going to have any negative effect on his health.
But if they have negative effects, sure, on their, it's becoming forbidden for them to...
Yeah, it becomes forbidden.
I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, for your nice answers to these questions related to the month of Ramadan and fasting. So please keep us in your du'as, especially in these nights and days. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
لا إله إلا هو